Y'all know what time it is. Oh, snap! It's 2022 in the building. Hollywood J. Black is in the building. Big MF and Sid is in the building. And you know what that means. You know when time goes down. It's time for that damn NFL show. The one your baby mama be talking about all the time. You don't be paying attention. That's why your baby mama at our house. Doing things she ain't. Oh, wrong conversation, my bad. Wrong conversation.
Wrong video, sir.
You know, listen. Sometimes we gotta let people know how we do. But let's get right to it, baby. Let's go! It felt good. That felt good. Look at that, man. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, man. Whoo, it's been a long time. I know it ain't been a long time for me and Big Sin. We just got done, you know, doing videos just this past Sunday, or this past Monday. But I know it's a long time for us to interact with y'all.
Since that four-hour show we did a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. The four-hour marathon. Critically acclaimed. And when I say critically acclaimed, it's critically saying, nah, we can't listen to this shit for 4 hours, but goddamn it, we love you guys anyway. But either way, okay?
Basically.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is your boy James, a.k.a. Hollywood J. Black, live in the building once again. And it's time for that damn NFL show. And I got my mans, my main mans. He's been thugging with me and doing this show for 6 years now. 6 years. I don't know why he puts up with me on this damn show for this long. I think it's crazy because he ain't getting paid for the shit. I ain't getting paid for the shit either, so it don't matter. That's my man, Big MF and Sid. How you doing, sir?
I am doing good, doing good, doing good. We were only 2 minutes late today, so I won't complain too much.
Well, it's only, well, technically, okay? Because, listen, sometimes, see, we don't have TV time constraints, okay? But we do have a Facebook time limit. If Facebook says we take too long, Facebook gets to hating. Okay, so I'm sorry if you had to wait 2 minutes to thug it out while waiting for us to go live. I had to wait like 12 minutes one time for somebody to go live. And I'm like, how do y'all still got a career?
So the problem is, I understand the little countdown, all that bullshit, what it does. But you didn't start the countdown in 2 minutes late. That's why I said 2 minutes.
Well, you know, listen. Just know I care, okay? Just know I care. And we care. And we're some caring individuals. But the people that are watching, they don't care to hear us care. They care about some damn football, sir. And that's on deck, right?
Yeah. The week one starts tomorrow, baby.
Yeah, NFL kickoff season. Make sure if you on FanDuel's, DraftKings, Prize Picks, make sure you got your DFS fucking, you know, money all set.
Unless you live in Las Vegas and you can't do it.
Yeah, exactly. That means you got to get your real money all set and make sure you stay at the casinos. RIP, three station casinos that fed our gambling addictions. You know, it's all good. It's all good, baby. But, man, we have a lot and not a lot to talk about at the same time when it comes to this NFL shit. Like, and it's weird for me to say that because there's a lot of stories that are coming into play this season. But a bunch of question marks that we really can't even comment on. It's just hearsay and speculation and a bunch of theories.
Yeah, most of it is shit that we won't be able to talk about until we do the week one review going into week two. So.
Yeah, and that's how big it is. See, last year, I went to look at the show. Last year, we spent almost 2.5 hours because there was a lot to go in because we just got back from COVID, like the COVID season.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady won a championship in Tampa. We had just got back from that. and it's been some wild times. And it was, so we have, like I said, it's just question marks, a bunch of question marks this season, this week. Lamar Jackson, apparently has to get a looking to get a deal done by Friday. If not by Friday,
did you see the Ravens fan started a GoFundMe to get him $250 million guaranteed?
Listen, shit. If that's the case, do it. Fuck it. Listen, at this point, because listen, if Lamar Jackson doesn't get his money, I feel bad for whoever got to pay that. Whoever got to be the man that tells the city, oh, we had to trade him because we could afford him.
But don't forget, we built a statue for a murderer. So
true. But to be fair, okay, to be really fair, the Baltimore Ravens have never been in a position like this, okay?
No, because Joe Flacco was Joe Flacco.
Yeah, Joe Flacco didn't sign a max contract, okay?
Because it wasn't a thing back then.
No, he signed a – it wasn't even a lucrative contract because they were still able to afford their defense and everybody else on the team. You know what I'm saying? It was a team-friendly but also Joe Flacco-friendly contract. He got paid what you felt he probably deserved at the time after winning a Super Bowl.
Even that's though fair. He wasn't the reason they won the Super Bowl, but yeah.
That's not the point, okay?
Sorry?
The question has always been, is Joe Flacco elite? And for one playoff session, he was more than mediocre, okay? That's all it takes. Listen.
And now he's a backup to a mom fucker and some other guy.
Listen, okay? If I'm Joe Flacco and I come into a meeting for a contract, right? And they'll be like, why should we pay you a maximum amount of dollars? Well, I played more games than Sam Bradford. And that's all you got to say. That's it. That's the end of the contract negotiation. Nobody's smart enough to say that, though. Okay?
No, I know. You're right. It's funny as shit. But
I'm here more than Sam. I can play. Fair enough. Here you go.
Fucking Sam Bradford, man. I want his agent. I want his agent on YouTube to give me my money.
Listen, I want his agent and a dude that backed up for Drew Brees for fucking the last 10, 12 years. That was from Missouri. Whatever his name is.
I have some bad news for you, sir.
What, sir?
You're still looking the wrong way. Anyway.
Listen, I am not.
Even on the video. On the video itself.
I am looking the right way. And it shows me the right way. Matter of fact, I'm going to take a picture to show you how I look so you don't think I'm tripping.
But no, if you look at YouTube, you're facing the opposite way.
That's because all y'all are conspiring against me.
He's like, it's all your caches and fucking browsers.
Yes, everyone, even YouTube's caches and browsers, okay? You want me to look this way? Fine. Is this better, Sid?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Now I'm looking at the wall.
Or just look straight ahead.
I'm trying to look straight ahead, okay? But I have to, like, this way, look at the computer, this way.
You're not reading shit. I'm the one reading shit, not you.
Damn it, Jim. I'm a doctor, not a doctor. Oh, yeah.
And like I said, when John commented on the Architects video, yeah, there's a whole lot of rock reaction channels, but only this one's eating an article.
Damn right.
I said, yes, because pure professionals, baby. Pure professionals.
Professionalism, baby. That's what matters. Professionalism. All right. No.
What matters in my mind is the start of week one and the big-ass game we have tomorrow night of Thursday Night Football.
I forgot who's playing again.
We have Von Miller now on the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, God.
Taking on the Super Bowl defending Super Bowl champions. Buffalo Bills at the LA Rams.
So we're looking at what could possibly – well, actually probably should have been a Super Bowl matchup last year.
Cincinnati was good.
I'm not saying they weren't good, but you – listen, there's only two teams really built for a playoff run, a deep playoff run and possibly a Super Bowl run. It was Buffalo and it was Cincinnati. And that's – wasn't that exactly what ended up in the AFC Championship game last year?
No, because remember, Buffalo lost to the Titans? No, Chiefs. Because the Bengals beat the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, my bad. I'm sorry. I forgot about the little tidbit because nobody cares about the defenseless Patrick Mahomes Chiefs. But, you know.
And you mean the defense that only shows up in the playoffs?
Barely.
So we got Matt Stafford coming off his finally got out of Detroit and won a Super Bowl. His first year out of Detroit.
Yeah, which I mean, you got to be kicking yourself if you're a Detroit Lions fan, right? Like, you really got to just be like, you know.
No, you got to be proud of the dude. He stuck it out with you for 13 fucking years.
Well, I know that, but it tells you. Okay, you're proud of Matt Stafford because he was your best quarterback, and I get that. I mean, not yours, but if you're Detroit. Mm-hmm. He was your best quarterback, and he stuck it out for 13 years. Fine, I get that. But the question is still going to remain. Had your GM and everybody else had been competent enough to run a football team, that would be the Detroit Lions in the Super Bowl and not the freaking L.A. Rams.
So we have to always bring up that the Detroit Lions draft Hall of Famers and let them die, like Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders.
They don't draft nothing else. Listen, if you're the Detroit Lions, okay, your free agent pitch should be, I have Matt fucking Stafford, who had just as many yards as Tom Brady, you know what I'm saying, that year. Right?
But he only won four games.
Yeah, but and had he had more help, he probably would have went to 8,000 yards and probably made the playoffs. Maybe won eight games, okay?
All right, so Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, they are the same team from last year.
Yeah.
With the exception of Emmanuel Sanders, because he announced his retirement today.
Yeah.
The Bills are good, but is there going to be a problem with them staying stagnant the last 2 years? Because they have the same team, but not going anywhere.
No. You see, everybody tries to say this, right? Like, everybody's – and you see this in basketball where – oh, the thing didn't work out because we didn't have players, so we got to switch around our whole team to make this work. And you probably see some shit like that in football, where they made some changes and it made things worse, i.e. Kansas City. Yes, I like throwing their name in the mud every chance I get. Fuck KC.
And Kansas City fans who watch our show, he's still salty about Jimmy Garoppolo missing a wide open Emmanuel Sanders, who I just brought up in the Super Bowl and losing again.
No, I'm pissed off at the defense, which was the number one defense in football, but giving up 20-some points in 5 fucking minutes.
Do I got to do it? Do I have to do it? What started that collapse? All right. So, Buffalo in L.A. Yes. This could be a Super Bowl preview.
Yes.
It's also very... It could happen that both these teams take a step back because other teams have improved.
We talked about this in the NFL preview. I seriously doubt that either one of these teams are taking a step back from where they're at. Now, I am worried about Buffalo because they're in the same division as New England, but they only have to worry about New England. So,
well, you ain't got to worry about them because all the professionals are saying New England is going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. So.
Professionals. And okay, so listen, if Bill Belichick was not going to be able to find a way to make it work, all right, he wouldn't have let go of Josh McDaniels. He'd be like, nigga, you know, I'm going to just step down and then I'm going to have my son coach the defense and you be the coach. If he was so worried about Josh McDaniels, right, tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong.
Bill Belichick has found a way to accommodate himself and the team if he knows that it's going to be of a larger benefit. And if he knows that the larger benefit is not there, he is more than willing to trade you for a 9th-round draft pick. He doesn't give a shit. And he'll find a way to turn that 9th-round draft pick into a 3rd-rounder for whatever the fuck reason. How? He'll find a fucking way, okay?
All right, so we are starting off with very offensive-heavy teams who supposedly have good defenses. Do you think this one goes up to the 40s or stays low?
Oh, no, this is going to be low. This is going to be a filling out process right here because, remember, defense wins championships, all right? And that's
right, you're going to bless 2022 with the first pick of week one.
Who is this game at? Who's at home?
It's at L.A. because they're the Super Bowl champs.
So oh, yeah. The Stars are going to be in town. fucking
all the fake Rams fans that came in after the Super Bowl, because wasn't nobody showing up for that team the last 3 years. Even when they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots, wasn't nobody showing up.
Are you talking about the switcheroos, the ones that pretended to be Rams?
Chargers? Nope. Rams? Nope. Raiders? Nope. Yeah,
exactly. Whatever team stopped through LA at the time.
Yep.
So I will say, as my bold prediction, and it's bold, okay?
A bold prediction against for two number one teams.
That's right. Bold. Okay?
All right.
The Buffalo Bills are going to walk into L.A. and A-Town stomp the Rams. It's going to be close. But when I say close, it's going to be far. I'm talking about probably like 27-10. And it's going to be all defense.
So our first disagreement on the first week, I'm going with the Rams here. I think they're coming off of that Super Bowl high. Matt Stafford is just happy now. You know what I'm saying? He's walking around like fucking machine gun fucking Carl Anderson. Me and my hot wife just got back from Bermuda. You know what I'm saying?
My only concern, and this is the reason why I say this, because Robert Woods is back and he's healthy, right? Is he back on the team?
Robert Woods is not on the Rams. Remember, they cut him.
So, wait a minute. So, you're telling me that there's
and
no...
And they don't have Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, so we know there's no Odell. And then we know that there's no Robert Woods. There's a Cooper Kupp and a Matt Stafford and whatever the fuck.
I'm going to look up the Rams wide receiver core real quick because I know they signed somebody.
It's crazy because, you know, we just did an NFL preview show a month ago and you think I know all this.
Allen Robinson. Nah,
he's not Robert Woods.
All right, so you got Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, Van Jefferson, Brandon Powell, Chetarius Atwell, and Lance McCutcheon.
Yeah, Jefferson was there. He was okay.
Yeah, but Allen Robinson he's good.
He's good, but he's not Robert Woods. Y'all don't realize how good Robert Woods was.
No, we did last year because we talked about it, that Odell Beckham is not Robert Woods, and that's why they struggled when Odell first got there.
Yeah, and that's why they used him in spot situations where you know the nigga was going to be wide open. And that's what happened.
He also doesn't know how to block anything but a kicking net.
Exactly. Robert Woods was literally everything. I don't know how Allen Robinson fits. One of those question marks I was telling people about that we don't know exactly how he's going to fit in this situation because they didn't really play him too much in the preseason like they probably should have.
Robert Woods is on the Titans.
Oh, did we glance over that little tidbit?
I think we did. No, because, yeah, I think we did. No, we did talk about it because the Titans traded Brown and then they signed Woods like the day after.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Which made him expendable, which made sense. Okay. Yep.
All right, so you got the Bills, I got the Rams. Next up is a game that's probably just going to be silly and fun to watch, but I just want to see the coach eat some kneecaps. We got the Philadelphia Eagles at the aforementioned Detroit Lions.
Well.
And the Eagles just traded Jalen Reagor to the Vikings. You know what's funny about that?
What?
When they showed the video of the Vikings laughing at the Eagles for taking Jalen Reagor before Jefferson, and now they just traded for Jalen Reagor to team up with Jefferson.
Well, you know, because you know, I don't know. See, this one is going to be tough. Let me tell you why. This is a make it or break it year for Jalen Hurts. Okay, and I know that's probably a weird thing to say, but people are not realizing that. Jalen Hurts, this is what, his fourth year now?
Third?
Fourth,
yeah. And, yeah, because Minshew last year was because when Hurts got hurt.
Yep. And remember, he was part of the – Jalen Hurts was there with the whole scandal with what's his name? And then you had the 1 year that he had, which he played the whole season.
Yeah.
And then when he got hurt with Minshew, and then this.
This
is a make it or break it year for Jalen Hurts.
This is last year rookie contract.
Yep. And so this is where you got to start asking the questions because Jalen Hurts came highly touted as a quarterback out of fucking Oklahoma, who was also Jalen Hurts was also at Alabama. He's a highly touted quarterback, and he hasn't reached his full potential. The question is now, is that full potential because he's in the Eagles, or is he who he is? And I don't think it's one of those other question marks. I don't have the answer to that one anymore. No. I don't know. And even if they beat Detroit, I still don't have the answer to that question either.
So last year, Detroit lost a lot of games by one possession. Yeah. And a golden leg of Baltimore Ravens kicker with a 69-yard field goal.
Yeah.
The Lions are going to be better this year. I said this during the preview. I am picking the Lions in this game against the Eagles.
This is going to be an interesting one. And Detroit's at home, right? They're in the dome. Yeah,
Detroit is at home.
You know, as much shit as we give Jared Goff on this show, as a whole quarterback, he's probably going to be the best shot that they have of getting anything. Because I don't see a rookie or a free agent outside of Jimmy Garoppolo that'll be able to come in here and do something positive. And I even think
Kyle Shanahan made the smart move by restructuring Jimmy Garoppolo's contract and telling him, yes, he will be backing up Trey Lance and actually letting him participate in team shit now. They treated Jimmy Garoppolo like he was Rudolph the Red-Nosed fucking reindeer like 3 weeks ago.
Well, you listen, we'll get to the 49ers in a second, but the reality is for that situation is that if I know that you're trying to get rid of somebody, I'm not going to give you the best deal. No, fuck you. And I don't see why anybody would. That's what tripped me out about.
As soon as Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch said, Trey Lance is our quarterback for the future, Jimmy Garoppolo's stop went.
Yeah, all the way down. You're going to get like this fifth. I'm pretty sure Bill Belichick offered him a 12th rounder. You know what I'm saying? All
right, we'll give you a draft pick in 2046.
Exactly.
I'll still be coaching this goddamn team.
as a head in the jar like Richard Nixon in fucking Futurama.
Yes. So are you going with the Eagles or the Lions?
You know what? I'm going with the Lions. I'm saying that because the Lions team actually has been together a lot longer than this Eagles team.
So, which is weird because they've only been together for like 2 years now. So
yeah, exactly. With the exception of Goff and you know, So I like Detroit's chances in this game at home.
And I like the moxie of the coach.
Yeah. He's got moxie. Did you see him about doing the drills and the burpees with the niggas? Like,
he can still go.
Shit, Dan Campbell's always been able to go. That's the scary part.
I'll go out there and do it myself, motherfucker.
It'd be like fucking Gronk or fucking Rob, fucking Moose Johnson or fucking who else? Fucking Bill Romanowski coaching and shit. That's what that equivalent is of fucking Dan Campbell. Fuck.
So next up, I already know where you're going with this one, but we got to talk about it anyway. We got the San Francisco 49ers at the Chicago Bears.
So
Trey Lance's big day.
So we have Trey Lance's big day. And then we also have the Justin Fields saga, which is they've pulled just about every single weapon away from Justin Fields to be successful.
Including Allen Robinson, who was a Pro Bowler when Mitch Trubisky was a quarterback.
Exactly. They're basically stripping this man of everything that you can stand and not really kind of filled it.
They're like, you went to Ohio State? You could do it yourself? Okay, son, let's see. Bye!
I still feel like they're punishing Ohio State quarterbacks because of Maurice Clarence bullshit back in 2003. I really feel this way. You think about this. Okay, Ohio State has produced some really, really good football team from that time span of 2003 all the way even up until now, right? But you tell me how come they've never produced one star-making quarterback in the NFL?
Well, up until Mac Jones out, you can say the same thing about Alabama.
But see, to be fair, they have produced quarterbacks. They just end up starring for other teams in fucking college football, and they go into the NFL. Jalen fucking Hurts. Joe fucking Burrow? No, Joe Burrow's Ohio State. Excuse me. There you go.
Joe Burrow went to the motherfucking Super Bowl, baby.
Joe Burrow went to Ohio State, said fuck this, and went to LSU, and that's how he got put on. This is wild.
I already know you're going with the Niners.
Well, of course, but
well, you know. Also the Bears let Khalil Mack walk for nothing.
The Bears, whoever's right. I swear, whoever's running the Bears must be related to the same family that was running the Lions he's passed away some years because this is
bullshit. That's my nephew.
Bullshit. No, I don't know. Bullshit.
I'm going with the 49ers here also.
Okay, fair enough. Right.
Next up, we have an AFC North matchup, and it's Mitch Trubisky and the Pittsburgh Steelers with no Juju Smith-Schuster because he's in Kansas City, taking on the reigning, defending AFC champions, the Cincinnati Bengals.
The worst thing that Mitch Trubisky could have stepped into is starting a division game against the runners-up in the Super Bowl.
No. And a team that doesn't like Pittsburgh.
No, not at all. No. The one thing about the AFC North is nobody likes each other. Nope. Nobody likes each other.
They don't even go to another team and start hating the team they used to play for no goddamn reason.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It just invoked those kind of vibes, right?
Like what? Villanueva, when he went to Baltimore. I hate Pittsburgh. Yeah, I know the way how they treated him at the end was wrong.
Yeah, of course. Dude, he was the only player to be on the only offensive lineman to be on a cover of a Madden football team in Mexico. Ever.
So, I don't trust... It's sad, because I trust Mitchell Trubisky more than I trust Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool is now your number one wide receiver.
Well, he's... Alright, so the whole thing... I always ask you two questions. Remember how we talked about this last year, what my method of picking some of the games are.
Who has the better starting quarterback? It is obviously Cincinnati.
So you already know what my answer is.
Which I already put our initials next to the name like 5 minutes ago. So.
Yeah, because there's no scenario that I can think that Pittsburgh wins. Not now.
Unless TJ Watt makes a miracle play and the game is still close, which because it's a division game, it could be.
I think
Chase, Jamar Chase, is going to go for 275.
Unless we get walk-on quarterback Zen Botchlessberger, okay.
No, I don't look like Joe Pesci from Home Alone. Leave me alone.
Look at that, you know. Just saying, this Bengals all day. I'm sorry to tell you.
Next up, I get to celebrate because we don't got to play the Dolphins at the end of the season in Miami for the first time in like 15 years.
Y'all just got to play them twice before the fucking Week 10, which is fucking hilarious. We play them
Week 1 at Miami, the New England Patriots. Against what is going to be Tua Tagovailoa underthrowing Tyreek Hill 75% of the game.
Which makes the scheduling of this makes me believe that the NFL front office that made the schedules really hated Josh McDaniels. Because you notice, as soon as Josh McDaniels leaves.
And Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, they still did it last year. Bullshit last year, they did it. But after Josh McDaniels leaves, now you want to fix the schedule. You know, it probably has to do with that bullshit that he pulled in Indianapolis 3 years ago. Like, okay.
Yeah, nope, I'm out. I'm going back to New England.
So this is a tough one because, again, I don't know what Dolphins team is going to show up. They're dealing with a new coach now, right?
And I was about to say, I'm calling this the karma game. You know why?
Why?
They fired a coach who was 5-1 against Bill Belichick.
It's fucked up. But isn't he back in? Isn't he back in New England now?
No, he's in Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah,
Tomlin signed him. Yeah,
Tomlin signed him. Which thinks that defense is gonna be a tough.
And he's still suing the NFL.
Fuck it. You know why? Because Tomlin's like, you know what? Let it ride. Nigga, yeah, I got you back. Fuck.
He got his championship. He's good.
No, I think it's how we give zero fucks. Let it ride, nigga. As long as you coach defense, I don't give a fuck. Let it ride.
Mr. Angry Frog over there.
Nigga said, let it ride. Right. So
tears fall down like rain.
John Peasy off the heezy for sheezy, my kneesy. What's good? You already know my answer to this one. This should already be.
NFL season, John.
You know, I'm already picking New England for this one.
I'm a homer.
It's too many news. It's too many news on the Dolphins than there are in New England. New England is apparently coaching defense by committee, and they have a fucking all-star.
They're coaching offense by committee.
Oh, offensive by committee, and apparently there's an all-star panel of fucking offensive coaches.
It's Joe Judge and Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia, who is not. Tomlin just wants another black dude who can play for triple players, let's be honest.
Listen, okay?
You're not wrong.
I don't have a rebuttal. So there it is. There it is.
All right, so next up we have, Baker Mayfield told the NFL Network he is coming to fuck up to the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, Lord.
The Cleveland Browns, they did all this work, gave all this money so homeboy could pay off all the fucking masseuses, and they still got to start Jacoby Brissett as the Browns take on the Panthers.
Listen, Baker Mayfield wants every single last piece of the smoke, okay? Every single bit. Every
you know why? Because hi, I'm Browns management. Baker, we are not going to even talk to Houston about Deshaun. We are not even going to talk. We are not. All right, Deshaun Watson's now Brown. $275 million guarantees. Go pay off those loans. That's Cleveland's front office.
I would have never. I don't even, I can't even tell you.
And we thought the Houston Texans were the worst one team in the NFL.
No.
Or the Jaguars.
Now they're fucking geniuses, okay? They're listen.
They should have let Bill O'Brien trade Deshaun Watson for a can of Pringles.
I'm just saying, when he had the chance, when he had the opportunity to. But no, now the fucking Houston Texans, now we have to look at their front office as fucking geniuses now for getting that man, for getting the value that he did out of him. No!
So if you're on Facebook and you can't see this comment, John said,
"No, there it is. Now you can see it if you're on Facebook."
There you go. No. Good job cleaning up the Brown Stadium in those commercials last year, so Deshaun can bring girls in this year.
No, so once again, you're not wrong. Okay.
But I guarantee you, Home Depot is not giving Deshaun Watson a deal.
I just sat here and I'm just like, how do you do this to Baker Mayfield? How do you do this to your franchise?
This dude took you to the fucking playoffs 2 years in a row and almost beat the Chiefs.
I don't know. I sit here befuddled, flabbergasted. And I'm just like, you already know the answer to what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, we're going with the Panthers here.
Yeah, this is going to be an A-town stomp easily. But what can Browns do for you?
I'm going home. I'm going home. My man, I cannot wait till Sunday, John. I cannot wait till Sunday. So you're going to watch some football, buddy.
You'll find out what the Browns can do for you.
All right.
VIP.
Next up, we have, whenever we do these shows, it's great segues going into the next things.
Okay.
So now we have Matty Ice in his new home of the Indianapolis Colts, who last year said, "We're not here for just one-year quarterbacks anymore," that immediately traded Carson Wentz. Against those aforementioned Houston Texans, who are the Texans.
The greatest front office in the history of the NFL. Next to Jerry Jones' first year in fucking Dallas. For all young peeps, look up the Herschel Walker trade and then you'll understand. But anyways.
You know what the Texans look like right now?
What?
They look like Cody Rhodes leaving AEW.
For now. But they still haven't gotten anything in return yet. That's the only problem.
So, Matty Ice had a Hall of Fame-esque career in Atlanta. He is the infamous quarterback, but it wasn't his fault. It was the now 49ers coach fault. 28-3 debacle of the Super Bowl against the Patriots.
Yeah.
But I think the Colts, they still got fucking Jonathan Taylor. They still have a good team in Indy. And he's a better quarterback than Carson Wentz.
So Indianapolis. I guess that's the question that we should really be asking, okay? Is, as a whole, because I mean, it's something that we haven't talked about. I mean, we haven't asked this question. Is Matty Ice a better quarterback completely than Carson Wentz?
Yes.
You believe so?
I know so.
The jury's still out on this one because I asked myself, okay, and I say so.
So you're saying a guy who's been in the league for 14 years and has played really well. He has been part of some badass systems in Atlanta and still put up the numbers, not the wins and losses, but the numbers, is worse than a guy who is always hurt, who when he tries to throw the ball downfield, it's always underthrown, and when he tries to run, his legs give out on him.
Okay, I'll give you that. But
Matt Ryan has never been hurt in his career also.
I'll give you that. No, that's not true. He was hurt once. Remember the year after the fucking Super Bowl shit? Because remember, Atlanta brought back in Matt Schaub.
Yeah,
and who's then, still a backup down there.
And then the motherfucker is, But he was only out for, what, four games or something like that?
Yeah, four games. Yeah, remember Matt Schaub? Matt Schaub would turn the clock back and fucking, what'd you call him, and do a mediocre shit. Yeah, he turned the clock back and be mediocre. This is one of those situations where it's a big-ass question mark. The one big thing that I have to because the second question I have is that what is going to be the answer for Jonathan Taylor? Is there an answer? I don't think there is.
In the NFL right now, Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry, there is no answer for.
Absolutely
not. And he is going to run the ball down the Houston Texans' throat on Sunday.
And that's kind of where the issue is because I don't think that they'll have a problem beating the Texans, okay? But this is
so you're talking about more long term.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Easily. I think. But you know what though? Davis Mills, for some whatever fucking reason, if you
but he sleep has no fucking nigga, but he has no targets.
No, I know. But if you sleep on him,
yeah,
he fuck around and we'll play spoiler on you. And I pray that I pray that doesn't happen because if it does, you're gonna be the first ever, you know, 5-year contract man, a coach, be on a hot seat after the first game of the season. You know what? Listen. You'd be like, oh, you made us get rid of Carson Wentz. You brought in Matt Ryan, and y'all still lost to the Texans? Nah, nigga, you better go 15-1, 16-1, nigga.
Remember, the Colts can't beat the Jaguars. They haven't had an issue with the Texans.
Well, that's it. That's probably gonna be the stipulation. You better go 16-1 and beat the damn Jaguars at the end of the season. Because if you don't,
get the fuck out. All right, so we agree with the Colts on that one.
Yeah, easily. Ain't no fucking way.
Pat McAfee a few weeks ago started hyping up Marcus Mariota and the Falcons. This week we have Jameis Winston and the Saints taking on Mr. Mariota and the Falcons.
Well, I've seen what happens when Jameis Winston can see, and he's a different quarterback. We got that at the beginning of last season before he got hurt.
If he stops eating those W's like that, he might be able to see where he's walking and not tear his fucking knee apart.
Well, fine. Fair enough.
Dance like an idiot on the crutches in the locker room.
Yeah, the only issue is that Alvin fucking Kamara has now been suspended for fucking 2 years.
But Mark Ingram is back in New Orleans.
He's no Alvin.
No,
he's not.
Ingram doesn't work without Kamara. We proved that in Baltimore.
Yeah, it just doesn't. It doesn't
matter. So do you think Marcus Mariota can reestablish some respect to the Atlanta Falcons?
It's going to be a totally different ball game. I can tell you that Atlanta is going to be on a totally different set of rules and a totally different vibe.
And don't forget, Calvin Ridley is suspended for the year for gambling.
Yeah, I know. I know. There's a lot of suspensions going on in Atlanta and New Orleans. It's also reminiscent of the early 90s. That's what it feels like.
Yep. The fuck is his name? The wide receiver from the Cowboys.
Which one? Cooper?
No, from back in the 80s and 90s. Michael Irvin doing coke off a hook his titties and then saying, I don't do drugs. I was in church all weekend.
That's right. Damn it.
What he didn't tell you was the hooker was in the fucking confessional with him while he was doing the coke off his titties.
While doing the confessional.
Oh, Father, I have sinned, baby.
P- preach like, hallelujah, brother, hallelujah. Right? How much for that bag?
So in this one, this is going to be an ugly game.
I honestly think that this is going to be a rough game for Atlanta. I think New Orleans, again, Jameis Winston, who can see now, is a totally different Jameis Winston.
I can see clearly now, my running back's gone.
And there's going to be a lot of Jameis Winston. I hope they can find a running back somewhere in that depth chart.
Or yeah, Mark Ingram could turn back the hand of time.
Well, you know, they still got Taysom Hill, though. So there's that. I mean,
the guy who screws all the running backs out of their fantasy money.
That's right. That's right.
All right, so I'm going with the Saints. You're going with the Saints?
Yeah. Why did Alvin Kamara get suspended?
Was it weed again?
Was it weed or was it PEDs?
It might have been PEDs because that would have been his fourth. That would have been his fourth thought. So,
God damn.
All right, so we have another revenge game right here.
Ooh, kinky. Okay.
Just announced, Joe Flacco will be starting against the Baltimore Ravens.
So it's crazy when you think about this, right? It's almost as if we come half circle, not full circle, just half circle. Okay,
because Joe did go play for Denver and somebody else before he got to New York. So.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it like this. Joe Flacco wasn't supposed to be starting at all this year. He's literally
supposed to be behind David Smith, not David Mills, Mike White and fucking whatever the fuck
is. Other dude, you know what? The guy
got drafted first last year for some goddamn reason.
Everybody thought that. After old boy blew it, that Mike White was going to be the savior, and then he died. Okay? They didn't have to get Joe Flacco because they had no quarterbacks.
But Flacco was their third string last year.
Yeah. And he was sitting behind everybody. Even the people they brought in, he was sitting behind them.
Yeah, and he was sitting there smoking cigarettes. Like, he was back there like Jay Cutler. Just...
Why? You know what? It wouldn't surprise me that with all the bullshit that the Jets have gone through and the bullshit that Joe Flacco's gone through, that he pulls out a Jay Cutler 7-9 season and walks off to the sunset. No, he does a Kyle Orton season. Eric, when Kyle Orton was on the Cowboys, got the motherfuckers close to the playoffs.
I'm going to respectfully step up and remind you that you picked the Jets to go 0-17.
I know. I just said it would be my luck if that bullshit happened. It ain't going to happen, but it'd be my luck. But
the funniest thing about the New York Jets is they're trying to talk about this rookie corner they have.
Yeah.
Oh, he gave up no catches. He's only been thrown at four times. That's why he's not giving up no catches, because he's on the third team.
This nigga is not the second coming of Darrell Revis.
And that's what they're trying to say.
No.
Hell no. Lamar Jackson is going to go out there and have a big day. He's going to be pissed off at his own team for trading his boy Hollywood Brown.
Yeah. I love how hilarious they're like, oh, he's a shutdown corner. That doesn't mean shit to Lamar Jackson. Shut him down all you want to. Lamar Jackson's going for 300 on the ground and 200 in the air.
Mark Andrews is going to have like 6 touchdowns.
I'm just saying, fuck you, what are you talking about? Shutdown corner. That don't mean shit to Lamar Jackson. You can scare another quarterback all you want to. Shit, that might even put a little bit of shake in Tom Brady's boots. But Lamar Jackson? Okay. He's gonna be like one punch man. Okay.
I ain't gotta throw it that way. So.
Yeah, shit.
Oh, I ain't gotta throw it at all.
Read option, bitch. we bringing back the Air Force offense.
All right. Next up, we have another redemption story coming.
Yes.
It's a redemption story against the worst named team in the NFL.
Oh God.
We have Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars taking on another very racial name, the Washington Commanders. They should have just kept him as football team. It worked for them.
They should call him the Washington Football Club. It would have been some shit like in soccer. That shit would have been light.
And you know what's fucked up?
What?
I'm just going to give my prediction now, because just like Carson Wentz could have beat the Jaguars last year, he's not going to beat the Jaguars this year.
God damn.
Because they lost their starting running back.
You know, that would be the fucked up irony of the whole thing. Carson Wentz can't beat the Jaguars. Wouldn't that be about a bitch? You know what? That's the narrative we're going to run with. I got the Jaguars in this one.
So if the Jaguars win next week's thumbnail, it's got to be Carson Wentz can't beat the Jaguars.
They can't beat the Jaguars. Elite quarterback can't beat the Jaguars. That's right, baby. Woo!
He's only elite. I'm very easy on that. Anyway. All right. Next up, we have an NFC North matchup. One where the quarterback took all the money and said he cares about his teammates against a team that has Kirk Cousins. We have the Green Bay Packers at the Minnesota Vikings.
I care about playing football. I really, really care about playing. What's that? 200 some million? For like 3 years?
And all it's going to cost me is Devontae?
Devontae? I don't know about that. Wait, what? You're going to give me a bonus? Bonus money? Count me in, baby. Okay. Woo!
You know what the answer to that was?
What?
I'm vaccinated. Just not what you asked me when I was vaccinated for.
I am vaccinated for measles, mumps, and rubella. Okay?
So, we talked about Jalen Rager getting traded to the Vikings, and now him and Justin Jefferson are on the same team. Mm-hmm. Dalvin Cook is healthy. Mm-hmm. They have a better coach than they have had the last couple years, but nobody gives a shit about Kirk Cousins and the fact that if you look at his numbers, he's a top 10 all-time quarterback, but his name is Kirk Cousins, so he just drops it out to the hundreds. So,
all bad.
And the Packers have Aaron Rodgers and A.J. Dillon.
Oh, fuck.
Mm. And it's in Minnesota.
Mm.
I'm going with the Vikings here.
That's Vikings it is.
Trust us. It's just our dislike for the Packers.
Yes. Yeah. It's we're not hating, we're just debating, okay? It's just right.
This is sinful black.
It's not like good. I said, who's he going to throw to? Aquilamon St. Brown, he's not even there either.
No, the number one wide receiver is Sammy Watkins, who has never made it through a 10-game season.
Oh, yeah, speaking of St. Brown, okay, before we move on to the next one, did you hear about somebody drafted Amon St. Brown to their fantasy team and then sent them the speech from Denzel Washington from Remember the Titans? Did you see about that shit? I was dying. I was like, what the
fuck? No, the one that had me dying is this. The guy who drafted Jay Taylor, thinking he got Jonathan Taylor in the 12th round.
Oh,
but
wow.
It was JJ Taylor, who's on the Patriots practice squad.
Woo!
He was all hype. And because I guess somebody in the team sent out the fucking thing. He said, man, when did Jonathan Taylor go to New England? They're going to be beasts this year. And he was like, that dude's on New England's practice squad. That's JJ Taylor, not Jonathan Taylor.
Better hope he plays.
I would have just quit the motherfucking league at that point. All right, I'm out.
I lost.
I'm sorry. All right. Next up, we have a new hope with the New York Football Giants and their new coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
But they are taking on King Henry and his men in Tennessee.
Yeah, I said the Giants were going to be great. It's just not this game. It's a wrap. I'm sorry to tell you, bud. You got a pissed off Tennessee Titans team. You got Ryan Tannehill in the contract year. Oh, fuck. Everything's just going against the fucking Giants. Woo! Woo!
Yeah, I don't see any saving graces with the Giants this year.
Nope.
People are talking about, they beat New England in the preseason. You guys really started your whole first team against New England's third stringers, and they held your first team offense to 0 points in the first half.
Mm-hmm. That's all bad.
Does Tannehill finish his season as QB1? Yes, because Mike Vrabel does not like running black quarterbacks, and he proved that in the preseason when he told the dude to stop running and then benched him.
Well, you drafted a running quarterback.
I know what Mike Vrabel did. Mike Vrabel has CTE. Don't judge him.
Ryan Tannehill was a run first quarterback,
but he was also a wide receiver. So.
And he was a wide receiver, and
but he's white. But he's white. Okay.
Are you calling preferential treatment by race?
It is Tennessee. So yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Well,
the only black person they like is Derrick Henry. Look, they traded Brown.
Oh, fucking Nashville. Oh, my God. All right. Yes. Yes, true. Maybe they should have traded him for Christian McCaffrey. They should have made the all-white squad at that point, okay? And then wear nothing but all white the whole season.
Looking like a smosh cast. Anyway.
Yes.
Next up, we have my old offensive coordinator taking on a team with a whole lot of new pieces. We got the Las Vegas Raiders at the Los Angeles Chargers and their new pieces, Khalil Mack, J.C. Jackson, fucking every motherfucker that was available to be signed, they signed.
Well, I'm sure glad that nobody on the Raiders is on the hot seat because this is a fuck-all game right here.
You know, Josh McDaniels is like, you know what? We're just going to see what happens.
It's like, you guys know everything? You got Josh the plays down? Straight up,
he came to Vegas and said, you know what, Josh Jacobs? We're not renewing your fifth-year option. You're on a prove-it year. Yeah. But I'm your best running back. Prove it.
That's exactly what it means. Prove it.
That's like the can't. That must be the conversation he had with Cam Newton in New England when Mac Jones got drafted.
You know, I'm the best quarterback here. Prove it. Oh.
I'm better than 32 others. Not anymore, Cam.
No.
So, the Chargers made a mistake last year by trying to win a game that they just should have tied, they would have got to the playoffs.
Yes.
I don't think that's going to be a problem this year because I think they're going to run away with this division.
Yeah. People are going to get hurt. That's what I'm going to say. It's about to look like fucking the 85 Bears style defense and shit. It's just about
the question I have for you, is J.C. Jackson a great corner or was he a product of Belichick's system, much like other corners who succeeded in New England but nowhere else?
Another one of those question marks.
Because Belichick, you know, he has the habit of getting the best out of everybody.
Yeah. But remember, this coach apparently has two in fucking Chargers. Yeah. Who would have thought the Chargers would be potential Super Bowl contenders 2 years after having a new coach?
I said last year that they were the most improved team, and they were very improved last year.
Anthony Lynn built majority of that squad and got them ready to go. And then this new coach, I always forget his name. I don't remember what his name is. So if I forget his name, I'm out.
Kip Kipperson.
He found a way to take the pieces. It feels like how Steve Kerr did with the Warriors when Mark Jackson built the squad.
Hey, Mark Jackson, thank you for the new car. Have a good day.
Exactly. And that's how it goes. But that's where we're at right now. Chargers going to win by a lot.
Because Khalil Mack probably still has ill feelings against the Raiders. And now he's in the division against them. We remember what he did to Derek Carr the first year in Chicago.
Yeah, I know. That was all bad.
Next up, we have some high-flying boys. We got Darlene Mahomes in the Kansas City Chiefs at Mitchell Murray in the Arizona Cardinals. You got the Midget versus Darlene.
These two teams have played before, and then Kansas City, blew them out the water. We thought that this game was going to be a lot closer than it was.
I can't remember. I don't really pay attention to either team, so.
I think the story's a little bit different now in Arizona.
But they have Hollywood Brown now.
Yep.
Kyler's healthy this time.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona's going to be a good team.
This has got to be a statement game. Remember, I said the Chiefs are going to have a tough time at the beginning of the season.
Yep. And you said that last year, and they almost lost it around week one. So.
Yeah, so I'm going to bet on it again. I'm going to take Arizona in this one.
I'm going to go with Arizona just because they're at home, and fuck Darlene Mahomes. All right, next up we have a rematch of last year's week one Sunday night football game that took place in Tampa Bay, but this time it's in Dallas. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers taking on the always underperforming, never ready Dallas Cowboys.
I worry about Tom Brady. This guy's got a lot going on in his life, in this close to post NFL life. He was supposed to retire this year, and then he came back.
But then Bruce Arians is like, if I leave, will you come back, Tom? Yes.
You know what? I honestly think that Tampa Bay was not prepared for Tom Brady to leave. I don't think they ever really prepared on what would happen if Tom Brady decided that he didn't want to play football no more. which is a strange thing to do, knowing that the man is very much north of 40.
Yeah, he's 40. He's going to be 46 this year.
Yeah, it's not like you're dealing with like a 37-year-old.
But also, let's not forget, last year, he threw for over 5,000 yards.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like, you know, it's not like he's bad. It's not like he's broken down. But at some point, as we've all said, you just get older. And a lot more shit in life matters. He should have been retired. Technically, should have been retired 5 years ago. Let's really be honest, okay?
It's last year in New England.
Yeah. According to the NFL pundits and the age of quarterbacks, he should have retired 5 years ago. He did not. He went on.
He spends $2.5 million just on his body in the offseason every year.
Yeah. But this year, when he came into camp, we just came in recently, when they were asking him about why he took the time off, you could tell that when it wasn't the same Tom Brady.
I know it'll change during the season.
I know.
He'll get that fire back.
But, like, he aged over a month. The whole month that he was gone, I felt like he aged, like, a whole year and a half.
Watch. You're going to see him week one just looking like gritty young Tom Brady again. And the Tampa Bay did the best thing for him, too. They went out and got Julio Jones, who is – I watched his practices looking like he did in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Which is going to be terrifying with what the Buccaneers have already.
Well, yeah. Well, and I get that. And I'm not saying that Tampa Bay isn't going to win this game. I think Tampa Bay wins this game. I predict that they're probably going to go like 3-3 or 4-2 in the first six.
See, I don't know how the Cowboys offense is going to look because they relied so much on Amari Cooper and they trade into Cleveland.
Well, the biggest thing is that, yes, Dak Prescott is a really good quarterback. And, yes, they still have Gallup and the other dude. The problem is that the running game, where does Zeke Elliott fit? I don't think – you got to pay him because you got to play him.
He should be the second string because Bernard Pollard is a better running back.
In this system, yeah. Because, remember, this isn't Jason Garrett's system.
No.
It's a completely new system that they've been running since last year. It's worked out for Pollard more than it has for Elliott. That's what it is. We know this. This is what we've come to accept. And we just got to keep moving forward. The reality is that Tampa Bay, though, is still very much a threat on both sides of the football.
They still have a very stout defense.
Yeah. And they got a defensive coach now coaching the whole thing. They still have Byron Leftwich coaching the offense still.
Has the easiest job in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, Tom, what do you want to run? Yeah, it sounds good.
Hey, just make some plays. Make some plays, see if Tom likes it, and keep it moving, okay? Helps you become a better offensive coordinator, all right? So
I think it's going to be a very good game.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And I think Tampa Bay will win this one.
Yeah, no doubt. It has to be a good game. This is their ratings moneymaker right here.
All right. And Monday night, we have
Nitro.
Huh?
I said Monday Nitro. Oh.
We have Russell Wilson taking on the Seattle Seahawks and Pete Carroll for the first time ever as the Broncos travel to Seattle.
So is it fair to call this All Hail Revenge Week? Is that what this is?
No, the NFL did a great job scheduling certain games.
Not even, but they had this shit on the schedule, not knowing fucking where people were going to end up.
I think somebody in the background was like this. Hey, Seattle, trade him to Denver. Trust us.
It's crazy to think, though. We always thought that that Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson were bonded at the hip together this whole time, right?
Yep.
Like, we really thought this was really a thing.
That Owen Wilson and Russell Wilson were brothers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But, you know, I honestly think ever since the Earl Thomas situation,
that situation?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think that changed everything. Dead ass honest, I think that changed every single thing. Because that's, a year after that, Richard Sherman left.
Yep. That same year.
And then Cam
Chancellor got hurt.
Yeah, you know, Cam Chancellor. And then, you know, he got caught up in this bullshit now.
And Bobby Wagner.
It's once that happened, that was it. Once the Earl Thomas situation happened, that was the end of Seattle's dynasty.
Yeah, well, not really. Marshawn Lynch wasn't good when he came back to Seattle.
No, but he was better than what they had, which is both
Chris Carson.
Yeah, what rookie or 2 year Chris Carson?
Yeah,
who's still battling an injury?
Who has been hurt every year since he got?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not like, you know, let's call a spade a spade. The Seattle has not been the Legion of Boom in a long time, and that's okay. You can't be the Legion of Boom forever. Nobody can have three Hall of Fame careers like Tom Brady or two coaching Hall of Fame careers like Bill Belichick. You're not perfect. But they were in a position where they could have dominated the NFC for a very long time, and they failed miserably.
Sorry for interrupting, but I just have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think in some way Pete Carroll holds Russell Wilson responsible for the interception against the Patriots, or does Russell Wilson feel Pete Carroll was responsible for the interception against the Patriots?
Well, I'm going to say that it was a play that they ran a million times over with success, a lot of success.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, it is also a play that they ran over and over with a lot of success. You know why I say that, Sim?
Yes, because Bill Belichick always uses your best shit against you.
And it's also a play that they ran earlier in the game,
mm-hmm,
at around the same point,
mm-hmm,
with success. You ain't going to fool Bill Belichick twice, okay? So knowing that, okay, as a coach, you should have known not to pull that bullshit. As Russell Wilson, you should have known that they're probably going to find the spot where you got past and blew past them the first time.
And what Bill Belichick did was send Malcolm Butler right at the wide receiver,
uh-huh,
and just cause chaos.
Exactly. So when you tell me who blames who, if anybody is blaming each, like the opposite person,
mm-hmm,
then you fucked up. Because Pete should have never called the play to begin with. And Russell Wilson should have never thrown in the same spot that he threw the ball to 100 times earlier in the fucking game and in the fucking season. Bill Belichick is going to catch your ass, and the chickens are going to come on the roost. We know this. Like, who's not fucking paying attention to this?
But Belichick is a very spry young coach, okay? He has all these new ideas, all these new defenses. He's only been in the league longer than three coaches have been alive, okay?
It would be like the equivalent of Brad Stevens was a fucking NFL coach. But, like, with all the experience. That's exactly what that shit is. I'm just saying, right? Because we hold Brad Stevens to a really high regard here on the channel. We honestly feel that for him to make Butler an actual fucking contender in college was an amazing thing. And he actually turned around a very bad Celtics team and made it work. Although I honestly feel that Danny Ainge should have backed the Brinks truck up to Isaiah Thomas.
That was all Danny Ainge, though.
Yeah, that was all Danny Ainge. All Danny Ainge.
Oh, did you see the Nets sign Markieff Morris out of nowhere?
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Like,
he was talking all this shit about Brooklyn last year. What the fuck?
Don't forget about the trade, the Pat Bev trade. And they said, well, what do you bring to the team? I went to the playoffs last year. They didn't. That tells you exactly what I bring to the team.
That dynamic with the Lakers is going to be ugly next year.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
If Anthony Davis gets hurt at all, that team is going to completely crumble.
I just find it crazy that you have Mike Conley, Russell Westbrook, and fucking and Pat Beverly on the same team in the same backcourt.
Who have all fought each other on the court over the last 5 years.
Yes. All right,
so we're going, who wins? Russell Wilson and the Broncos? Or Pete Carroll and Drew Lock as his starting quarterback?
Are you sure it's Drew Lock?
That's what I last read. Let me see who's starting for.
Because I could have thought it was, what's his name?
Geno Smith?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. The Broncos are going to win by like 30.
Let's see. Who is starting this game for Seattle?
I thought it was Geno. It don't matter, though. And like, it really, in a grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter. but we'll play along for the culture.
Oh, okay. They're doing. So they're starting Geno Smith, but they also signed Sean Mannion, who could start.
Oh my God. Are they doing it like pitchers? Is this what this is?
I'm having a feeling they are. Oh, he threw a pick. Let's try this guy. Oh, he died. Let's try this guy. Drew Locke, you still look like a lesbian.
What? He touched the masseuse? Let's get Deshaun Watson in here.
We're going to give him $500 million guaranteed.
take that.
As the Seattle Seahawks trade DK Metcalf.
Goddamn, Browns are winning like 40, huh? That's what this shit is.
Right.
In the dome. Fuck it. It is what it is.
Well, guess what? That is week one, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, we made it, and we didn't piss anybody off. Woo! That's right.
But we'll probably find out later when people watch the shit on the background.
Fuck you guys. Like,
you guys fucking hate the Packers. You guys hate the Chiefs. It's the same old blahgy, 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 blahgy every year. Well, you know what? You're right, you son of a bitch. Fuck the Packers. Fuck the Chiefs. If you don't like us, fuck you. I'm now CM Punk. Did you used to stand up with that man, huh? When was the last time you talked to him, huh? Fuck him and his mom, right?
Look in my eyes, don't
what
you
can
see?
See? Cody Rhodes was like, I'm out this bitch.
All right, Big Sin, let them know. I explained in the description, but let them know where they can catch us on that damn NFL show for their viewing pleasure, or even their titillating listening pleasure, if they damn well please.
Well, you can find us on any podcast platform that you may have, as long as Hollywood gets the podcast up in time.
It'll be up by midnight. So if you went live with us today, podcast up
on Facebook, find us on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You can find us anywhere, social media. I've been promoting the shit out of shit recently, so.
I'm working on it. I've been trying to follow his lead, putting it in my stories. When this goes up, it's going to be fun, so.
Oh, yeah, and he said he's going to watch it after. Shout out to Knicks. He said, we're giving him a big head, but he's also making us seem relevant, too.
Yeah, you know, we appreciate that.
Because his fans are like, oh, shit, that's fire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Congratulating him for us saying good job, Knicks.
I'm just saying, like.
I'm like, who are we?
We appreciate you.
Right? We appreciate you.
You appreciating us is a lot more than we need, but we'll take it because we love you.
Because we're also 40-year-old crazy fuckers that don't give a shit about people's opinions.
Exactly. With that being said, since if you do care about people's opinions, make sure you check out Sinful Black Reacts. There's usually a show every single day.
Oh, can I also advertise that before we go?
Yes, go ahead.
So remember, I was telling you about we picked up a lot of bad games on the PlayStation during a sale.
Yes.
So the game series is going to be called What the Fuck Is This Game?
I should probably join you and do one of the random Game Pass games. That's all this bullshit because they showed the game Ultimate Game Pass games and like 9 of the games. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
Oh, just wait till you see what I put out, dude. I'm also wanted to also say I am doing the game reviews and movie reviews coming soon.
Yes.
I will be recording probably those sometime this weekend. So,
yeah, oh, okay. Also, so hopefully by my birthday, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Me and Big Sin may be starting to play some of the, since it dropped, the Ninja Turtle collection. You know, a little bit of nostalgia, if you will.
Yeah, I just beat Shredder's Revenge this past weekend.
Yeah, and what you call them, they dropped last week.
Yeah.
Between now and my birthday, we got to get our hands on it, and then we got to have some fucking nostalgic.
We'll live stream that shit on Twitch.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'll put the VOD up on the VOD channels.
That's going to be titillating, baby.
So, what we need you to do right now is go ahead, like, comment, and subscribe if you're on YouTube. Like, comment, and just love us on Facebook, because Sinful Black Sports, baby, we here for the next 24 weeks. Guaranteed doing NFL, so.
Yes. At the bare minimum, baby. Bare minimum.
And be on the lookout for the Wrestling Talk podcast that we are going to be doing.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Might be once or twice a month. We'll see you on that one.
We got a lot because there's a lot of wrestling.
We also got to do our Dead Hip Hop Society shows.
Yes, yes. Once we find the time, that's what it is.
The part is, what should have been a great moment as MJF's return got overshadowed by CM Punk being a douchebag.
And then subsequently, the elite being even bigger douchebags. And
no, CM Punk asked for that shit. He said, if you have a problem with what I'm saying, you baffle-headed EVPs of this company who aren't really EVPs, come see me face-to-face. It just so happens the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega are not afraid to fight somebody.
Well, they probably should have, because one of them got knocked out.
Because Ace Steel threw a chair at somebody?
You know the rule. Once somebody throws a chair, it's a fucking brawl. Have we not seen the Boondocks? You should have known, okay? Once
you know, Ace... the funniest shit about this is everybody blamed Nia Jax for the Pat Buck stuff, but here's Pat Buck getting suspended for being in this fight.
Listen.
He may have been in AEW a month and a half.
I mean, okay. I don't even know why he was there to begin with. That's the part. Okay, like, that's what trips me out. Like, I knew why the Young Bucks were there.
And I know why Kenny Omega was there.
And I know why CM Punk and they still were there because it was their locker room. Okay?
But why the fuck was everybody else up in this motherfucker?
Yeah, who the fuck is... I mean, we know Pat Buck is. Why the fuck are you there? Who the fuck is some other nigga, Shawn Manassas? I don't know, something...
The funniest shit about is... Chris Jericho heard that shit. Oh, that Tony Khan didn't hear it. Chris Jericho did. He hugged Tony Khan and said, hey, some shit just popped off.
Yeah. He's like, oh, for real? He's like, yeah, go ahead on that shit. Go ahead. Yeah. Chris Jericho handle that shit.
I feel so bad for Tony Khan. He was so uncomfortable during CM Punk's press conference.
Oh, man. This is what happens when you as
When a fan owns a company, it doesn't have somebody who knows how to be a leader.
But see, this is the thing, though. All right? So... he's trying to foster the same kind of thing that Triple H is successfully fostering now. The difference is...
Triple H also has 40 years experience in business.
That's what I'm saying. Give me a minute. Let me get there. I had a speech, okay?
And he's been fucking the McMahon for 20.
Listen, while you are correct on every account, okay, the whole that's the point. The only way that you will get respect from wrestlers is by being in the business, not outside the business. And that's where the problem lies. That's this whole shit. Because had he been in the business, then you can understand what they go through. Why do you think people were willing to walk through fires for Jim fucking Cornette? Because Jim Cornette bled all over a fucking white suit after getting hit with a cell phone. He paid the price, as Ric Flair once said, okay? And that that sticks in people's head, paying the price. Tony Khan has yet to pay the price because that's not who he is.
No, he's a businessman.
Yeah.
And my whole issue was this, where Tony Khan should have just told CM Punk to shut the fuck up for a minute, is when Tony Khan was like, all he had to say was AEW's does not, you know, back what CM Punk is currently saying. That is not our saying. That is Philip CM Punk Brooks' feelings. That is not AEW's feelings.
Yeah.
All he had to do. But no, what did he do? He let CM Punk walk all over him during this press conference when he just had a 15-match dream show where Jon Moxley, for the first time in his AEW career, got pinned cleanly for the man you just stripped of the title.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to tell you, it was a statement that I replied to. I was listening to the 100 Keeping It 100 podcast, you know, the Conan Disco one, right?
Yeah.
The perfect statement on that podcast was made regarding this whole situation. Everybody was right. Everybody was wrong. And everybody should get penalized heavily for this bullshit. And the reason why is that CM Punk had a reason to feel how he felt. Regardless of how shit went down, because me and you know, when we're disrespected, you know, we're going to find a way to try and get our respect back.
Okay.
But hold on, wait. Let me finish. CM Punk, how has CM Punk fought every single one of his battles? Has he fought him with these? No.
No, he's fought him with his mic. He's fought him with
the microphone. When he said that a microphone is a pipe bomb in his hand, that wasn't just the metaphor. That was a reality.
No, I get that.
Okay, so the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, you know, honestly shouldn't have been brought into the whole thing. But if you think about it, when Hangman Page went to do business for himself on the promo. Okay. The reality is I probably think that while the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega probably felt disrespected for the shit that he said about them per se. Also remember that Hangman is the EVP too.
Yeah. He is, they're all best friends.
Yeah. And so I think this more so had to do with them going to bat for Hangman Page. And I bet that if Hangman Page was actually in the building at the time it went down, we'd be looking at four suspended wrestlers on that side instead of three.
Well, also, and you love him and I do, Eddie Kingston said today that CM Punk waited till he was out of the building to pull this shit. Because, Eddie would have gotten his face in the presser.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie would have went after that motherfucker for saying anything.
Yeah, of course.
Because we know how CM Punk disrespected Eddie Kingston in the past.
Of course. And so the physical altercation as a whole was the wrong move, period.
Yes. No, it was completely wrong,
but by everybody. Because as an EVP, you know what I'm saying? You are at a higher status than everybody else. This is why EVPs cannot, this is why active wrestlers cannot be EVPs.
But they're also EVPs that were stripped of power by Tony Khan.
But they're still EVPs. They're still
No power. They're listed as EVPs, but they have no power.
Then they wouldn't be EVPs then, but that's who it is. They're still in, do you think they're not still in charge some way, somehow, shadow-wise?
They should be.
But they are.
They know the business.
They are. But this is why you don't have active wrestlers in charge of shit like that. You never do.
You know what you do? I can tell Tony Khan how to fix this right now. Put William Regal in charge of talent relations.
Oh, yeah. That should have been literally the first thing that he should have done. When you hired William Regal, that literally should have been the first thing you do.
Because he can still be an on-screen talent and run that shit.
I'll even take it one step further. Okay, I'm gonna go further. Once all these people got let go from WWE. Okay, not talking the wrestlers. I'm talking the actual, bookers and talent and
Road Dogg, Ray Regal, these guys.
Yeah, that would have been literally the move. You hire all those people, and then you find out their individual talents and what they can do and can't do, and place them in positions where this makes sense. While Tony Khan could have easily just been Vince McMahon, you know what I'm saying, right? But you can't have all this responsibility, because the bad part about it is that everything absolutely 100% falls on you, and there's no deferment. And this whole situation, at the end of the day, it was no good for anybody that actually threw a punch, and nobody was around that watched other people throw a punch. But at the end of the day, Tony Khan is still responsible for the bullshit.
Yeah.
Because he fostered an environment where he allowed this to happen.
Yes. So this has been building for a while now.
Oh, it's been building since CM Punk signed.
Yeah, Malakai Black asked for his release a couple months ago, and they told him no.
And I'll tell you that he finally got it. That's the breaking news.
But they told him he cannot go to WWE.
Yeah, conditional. Which it's conditional. You're under contract for 5 years. Conditional. The whole thing is he wants to make sure that if he's saying that this is a mental health situation, best believe it. Because remember how so everybody's like, well, why would they do that? Remember how Malakai Black was able to get to AEW to begin with.
Yes.
They fucked. Not only did they fuck up his contract situation, they fucked up his release situation and made it the non-compete only for 30 days instead of 90. They really fucked up really that bad because he was still under his NXT contract when he went over.
I strongly think that when Malakai Black first asked about leaving AEW, that in his mind, he was going to go be the face of NXT York when it launches next year.
Probably. And I wouldn't doubt it. But, if this is going to – the next, I want to say, 3 months are going to be pivotal. And I know we're on our wrestling shit. You know what I'm saying? But it's gonna be pivotal.
We gotta schedule we gotta stop talking about wrestling, schedule a podcast. For me, you sit here, talk, you record all the shit, and just release it.
I'll see you tomorrow.
You know what? I'm down.
You give us a half hour, let's fucking do it.
We will record live like this.
I'll meet you here 7:30. I'll meet you here. We'll start at 8 o'clock. 8 to 9. Let's go.
I'm there.
All right, let's do it. Well, five. Right. It'll be 5 to 6.
Just heard it. Wrestling podcast episode 1 tomorrow.
Industry outsiders, bitch.
The return. This time for an actual, you know, long journey.
Actual show.
Not like, right. Not like here. We're here for 2 hours. We go off for 6 months.
We go.
We are Brock Lesnar.
We're going to find a way to make this shit work, yo, for real. So until next time, that's my man, Big Sin. Am I pointing at you now? Is this
yeah,
movie?
Yeah, yeah.
That's my man, Big Sin. On my screen, I'm not. I'm your boy, Hollywood J. Black. This is that damn NFL show, and we are out this thing, and we will see you tomorrow with wrestling. But next Wednesday, bitches,
Tuesday. Ah. Bye-bye, 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 bye-bye.